The Ray Foley Podcast.
Oh, here we go. Here come the details.
A Today FM original podcast.
Ray.
Yeah.
I love the show.
Hey, JP, you know what time it is?
What time is that?
It's podcast time. O'clock. Hello, thanks for downloading. An email address is jp@todayfm.com. The Ray Foley Show podcast. You can get us on the Go Loud app, on the Today FM app, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Ray and there's JP.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm in pretty good shape. I've had a busy week, actually. And the kind of week where you reach a certain point of your life where you, when you see more than maybe three items, aside from your job, that is, you know, see, obviously there's the do the radio show and whatever work is involved with the radio show put into my week in my calendar. But I, by the way, I live off a calendar, a shared calendar with my wife, because it's the only way I can survive or be sure to do the things that I say I'm going to do, because again, the ADHD. So I put blocks into the weekly calendar, and then if there's more than three blocks on the week, on the 7 day strip, I'm like, I'm just like, oh my God, I can't.
There's nothing better than an empty schedule. Or, well, actually there is, sorry. The only thing better than an empty schedule is a previously full schedule and then a bunch of cancellations. The relief.
Oh, yeah.
It's a joy, guys.
Oh my God. I remember last Thursday, I was going to bed and I'd arranged for my first swim pal date of the year, of the season, I suppose. Last Thursday. So as I was going to bed, last Friday, I was going to be going swimming at 9:30 in the sea with my friend Brian. And it was all arranged. We'd arranged it all week. We're like, see you Friday. Yeah, Friday. Cool. Yeah. See you tomorrow. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Cool. See you. Cool. Yeah. Looking forward to it. Hey man. Yeah. Looking forward to it, man. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. That's the way we talk to each other.
Right, okay. That seems unnecessary.
Cool. Yeah. Cool, man. Man. Cool, man. Cool. See you in the morning. Yeah. Cool. Good night. Good night. Love you. Kiss. Cool. See you in the morning. And as I was going to, like, again, texting him, cool, it's all fine. Whereas in my heart, hating it, dreading it, deep, dark, black, oily dread,
right,
in my heart.
Do you ever do that thing where you've got an arrangement with someone and you're trying to nudge them towards cancelling before you do?
Somewhat. The only nudge I would do is I would always leave it open. So there's always, like, on every single correspondence with regard to the arranged the date or the arranged meeting that I'm not interested in, I will always leave in, and if that suits you, if that's okay with you, if that works, ?
And if
it doesn't work, I mean, yep. that's fine.
Another option for that is the, I'm easy either way. That I add that to pretty much any booking appointment arrangement.
I'm easy.
If it doesn't suit, we'll do it another time. Cool,
Mr. Kilburn. The test results have come have come back. We're going to find out if it's terminal or not. But the only time we can get is tomorrow morning between 9 and midday. Well, I'm easy.
I can take or leave.
I've got work tomorrow as well. So, yeah. So Brian then woke up at whatever, 6:45 on the Friday morning, and he cancelled. Yes, he said, I can't do it. My wife has taken the car and I've no way to get out to you. I was like, cool. Listen, man, no worries. Cool.
Some other time.
Cool, man. Well, listen, we must get it in the diary again. He's like, yeah, when? I said, I'll get back to you.
I'm easy.
And I haven't gotten back to him since.
Right.
And I heard that it's really cold. April apparently famously cold for the sea swimming. I did a whole year of it, but I was used to it. So I would do short dips. But this is apparently after the winter, now is the coldest time in the sea. And it's going to get warm after this. 10 degrees at the moment. I've got this, if you swim near Dublin at all, up in Dublin. But there are a few smart boys. Not smart boys.
Smart lads.
Smart boys. Oh, look at the two smart boys there at the back of the class. Oh, the two smart boys to be able to say how warm it is in the sea, is it, when they're dipping their toes? No, it's not smart boys. It's smart buoys. These are internet-connected buoys that do wave height, which is quite clever. So, like, if the waves are, you know, see...
The swell.
Yeah. I don't know how it measures it, actually. Oh, I'm sure
it's the vertical bobbing it measures.
But how does it measure it specifically?
Well, are the boys out at a set position out into the sea?
They're out.
So they know what the average depth at that point is. So if there's a variance of it rising or falling, they presumably are able to calculate a swell.
How is the question? I know they do it. I'm wondering how they do it.
It's just the same whether your phone is able to calculate whether you've gone up a flight of stairs or if your elevation has changed. It's GPS, right? Or it's geolocation in some way, shape or form.
Right. So you don't know how
I have no idea. I'm guessing. That's got to be how it works.
Wasn't it like 2 weeks ago on the podcast he was asking how traffic lights work? But yeah, you know how...
smart boys work.
Smart boy. The smart boy knows how.
I bet money. Get on to us. Get in touch. jp@todayfm.com. I bet you money that's how that works.
It's fascinating stuff, though. It genuinely is that all this info is there for you if you want to use it. And like particularly for getting in the sea or that kind of thing. Very handy. 10.2 degrees then is the current temperature in off Dublin. I think it can be a little bit colder. There are a few around the country. I think there's maybe four or five. There's loads of buoys. They're operated by Irish Lights, I believe. And if you Google smart boy, near a smart boy, how you've got to, go on the internet and Google, I'm looking for a smart boy.
A well turned out young fella.
A young man, a 16-year-old in a three-piece suit. No, that's not what we're talking about.
What's your tipping point? Is there a tipping point on temperature where you go, oh, that's a good temperature, I'll go in now?
No, I've never actually really paid attention to it. Right. But there are days where you go in and it's like, oh, geez, it's actually quite warm. And then you check it on the app afterwards and it's like 16, 17 degrees. You can get really warm.
I nearly didn't make it into work today because I nearly died on the way into work.
Okay, cool. jp@todayfm.com for your... Sorry, go on.
So I'm walking into work on Bow Lane, which is outside Marconi House up in Dublin, and minding my own business. I zone out when I'm walking in. I don't listen to anything on earphones. I'm just walking along. It's nice and quiet. And then wham! Slam! Blam! Right beside my foot.
Three things landed beside you.
Just the one. But it was
wham, slam, and bam.
It was very... Thank you, ma'am. But it was very loud. It was a pizza slice.
It was a woman.
A pizza slice came down and whammed on the footpath beside me. An entire pizza slice. And it didn't come horizontally. Nobody had chucked the pizza slice at me. It fell from the heavens. It fell out of the sky. So this all happened very quickly.
Just a slice?
Just a single triangular slice of a pizza.
A big pizza?
I would say it was definitely from a medium-sized pizza. It wasn't a small personal pizza. It was about a 12 to 13
One
inch.
Big triangular slice of pizza landed wham, bam,
right
slam,
beside
thank
me.
You,
just, I feel like in my memory, I felt it go past my head.
Whoosh.
And it
the distinct whoosh of a pizza past
I could smell the sauce.
Cranium.
I said, that's a pizza. Then bam, wham, slam.
Thank you, ma'am.
On the footpath. And the way it fell, I knew somebody didn't chuck that at me. Did somebody throw that out of an apartment window or an office?
Can I have a guess?
So they tried to...
Can I have a guess? Will I guess?
Yeah, you will get it, I'm sure.
I bet it's a seagull.
It was, because...
Bastard seagulls.
Like a second and a half after it went wham, bam, slam beside me.
Thank you, ma'am.
Here comes the seagull straight on top of it. And I'm not talking 5 seconds later. It was clearly...
chasing it.
It dropped it and was chasing to get it. Nearly hit me. That would have been bad. Now, plus point, it was a margarita. It wasn't...
I wouldn't thank you for a...
But if you're going to get hit by any pizza...
It's a victimless crime, a margarita.
If you want to get hit by any pizza, you want a margarita because it's not fully loaded.
Clean.
If you've got a meat feast, you've got meat products on top, that's going to be a weightier thing. Yep. It's going to put you in ICU. But margarita is... You're probably, possibly surviving.
It's carrying a lighter load.
I don't know how high it had fallen, so I don't know how much it would have hurt, but I know it would have hurt.
Would it though?
Well, have you
ever been hit from a pizza from a height?
I mean, it doesn't happen very often, but that's like dropping a coin off the Empire State Building. That can kill somebody, cut them in half.
But I don't think it was, if he's just got the pizza in his mouth there, his beak, and he's dropped it, he's not as high as the Empire State Building. I mean, sure, if he was up the height of the Empire State Building and he dropped a slice of margarita pizza, medium, wham, bam, slam, thank you, ma'am, on top of your head, then it might actually kill you. Sure, I grant you that. But I don't think it would have been that high.
It landed base down, which surprised me.
Interesting.
Because when you butter a slice of toast, it always ends, it lands butter down. So I would have thought the saucy side, the cheesy side, the margarita side would have wham, bam, slam on the footpath face down that way, not facing up.
It was just the way he dropped it. Like maybe it just fell, maybe it was just fluke rather than actually being science. I don't know if there's a science to the, we know where it's been well documented. And one of those programs and, your man.
Mythbusters.
One of those, I'm sure, has done a million things about dropping toast and why does it drop on this side or whatever. But has it been done with pizza? There's a niche there. There's an opportunity.
Do you remember the Richard Hammond version of those Mythbusters shows? It was on Sky One. Do you remember Sky One as a channel? And Richard Hammond, him off Top Gear, he did the science-based show that involved a lot of different live experiments. And
I have no recollection of this at all.
I do.
Richard Hammond has done a lot of those digital shows, like a lot of shows that were like, ah, Richard Hammond is on again. What's he doing this time? Oh, it's random. It's totally odd and random.
Some people are built for media. It's almost like they were put together in a lab for media, for TV work. Hammond, he's got the voice.
The hamster.
He's got the likability. He just has all the mannerisms of a person who is built for telly or radio.
His contribution to Wipeout, you remember Wipeout, Total Wipeout?
Yes.
His contribution to that was always strange to me because he wasn't there. So Amanda Byram.
She was on site.
She was there with the contestants, interviewing them and then reacting to all of the... By the way, Total Wipeout, incredible show. It was like an obstacle course, loads of... But they're all just normies. They were flown out to Argentina, I think, to do this obstacle course. And they ended up falling in water, getting punched in the face, gunged, all this kind of business. And Amanda Byram would be there, like I say, presenting it, interviewing the contestants, being fully engaged and involved. But then it would randomly, inexplicably cut back to Richard Hammond, who was obviously just recording his bits in a studio in London. And he's like, well, wasn't that great? And it's like, you're not there. You're not involved in any way.
But he had the face and the name.
Why are you even on this?
Well, because he was a face and a name. He was carrying the show.
He's made for media. Are you telling me that Amanda Byram couldn't have done that herself? Amanda Byram could have done this.
Smash the patriarchy, guys.
Come on, Amanda. I'm rooting for you. She's fantastic, by the way. Love Amanda Byram. I think she married someone.
Congrats.
A man. Congratulations, Amanda. Right, what have I got for you? This is during the week. This was the manifesting. Well, this is a funny one, actually. Have you ever manifested?
I think I manifest every single day because I think manifesting
is... Whoa. In this day and age, of course, have you ever manifested or womanifested?
Sorry.
I mean,
we've
got a multitude of listeners.
Apologies. I take that back.
You think you manifest every single day. How so do you do this then?
Well, isn't the idea of manifesting where you have an idea of something that you want to happen or do, then you put some intention behind that. That intention leads to some kind of action, and ultimately that action leads you closer to that end goal. So effectively, when you make a decision to do something, it's kind of like manifesting, although manifesting, as I understand it, typically is about long-term projects or things you would like to happen in the future that can't happen immediately.
So let me get it straight. You're confusing doing something.
Yeah.
Just doing like...
But that's
what it is. I'm going to the toilet now, so I'm manifesting a wee.
Yeah, but if you're manifesting something in the traditional sense, right?
I'm manifesting a bowl of cornflakes.
No,
for my
but if you're manifesting making $1 million,
yeah,
it's on your mind now. You've flipped that switch, so your brain is switched on to think about ways you could make $1 million.
Yeah.
So you're naturally going to be more alive to options and opportunities that come up.
Yeah.
Than you would be if you weren't thinking about it and said to yourself, I'm going to manifest myself.
Yeah, I know. That's what manifesting is. How are you manifesting on a daily basis?
But that's effectively what it is.
What are you doing then? What are you manifesting?
Every single decision I make is kind of manifesting.
But what, like, but the end goal, is it the million? What is it? What are you manifesting then every day?
I suppose wanting to have a good day, and then it's just about putting together the building blocks of a good day.
A wee?
Right. Have a wee.
Right.
Don't be holding on to your pee past sort of 2 hours. Let it go.
Just let it go.
Just let that pee go.
Just let it all go.
Have yourself a good day.
Yeah, you see, it's a funny thing, manifesting, because there's a few different things I think about the whole manifesting. And of course, there was The Secret and everyone got into that whole thing and the make it a sit like that, you know, thing. I want to be a millionaire. I want to be super successful. And I want everything to work out for me. And yeah, doesn't everyone? But manifesting involves being more specific about that and being a bit more focused specifically on the manifestation. Like, I want to be a millionaire because I became a famous artist or, you know, a famous musician or I wrote a hit song or something like that. But and then you manifest towards it all the time. Your manifestation just seems to be like, I hope I have a good day today.
I'm saying these are just versions of that sort of more long-term manifesting type approach.
There was an article in the Irish Times during the week, and this is about the manifesting influencers. And I, another thing I've thought about, but we haven't really touched on it before, is this. It's the death of religion, really, and we're clutching for various sort of alternatives to religion, or the focus that religion would have taken, or the energy that religion would have used for humanity generally. Like that now, because people, they're like, oh, I'm not really into God or praying or anything. Yeah, there are plenty of people that are, but then generally, socially, an awful lot of people aren't. And then there's this sort of, and online has sort of made it, and then the internet has made it easier to sort of find these other things that are kind of taking the place of religion that way. And people, in some sense, grasp onto this manifesting thing. But this is another level of it, again. Like this is, it's a sort of a more greedy version of manifesting.
Commercial, would you say?
Well, kind of capitalist sort of focus on manifesting. Money and I are best friends. The influencer is promising that manifesting will make you rich. This is called Delulu. Delulu?
Right.
It's the latest TikTok take on positive thinking. It has a familiar whiff of late stage capitalism meets luxury mindfulness. Delulu, it's short for willfully delusional. The internet's latest take on positivity thinking. You can be Delulu about a potential romantic partner. So like, oh, that person who has never expressed any interest in me is married, lives in another country, and is, I don't know, a millionaire. They're going to fall in love with me. That's Delulu. But this is encouraged. I mean, this is a version of manifesting that person falling in love with you. Like Brad Pitt is going to fall in love with me. You can be Delulu about your career prospects. And today, TikTok trends like money manifesting, wealth mindset, the law of assumption, and the 777 method are indicative that the biggest delusion involves a girl. Delusion involves a girl's love affair with her bank balance. If she can't afford a down payment or to pay off her student loans, then why not light a candle and engage in some visualization? And this is the whole thing, that online influencers are driving this Delulu version of manifesting. Now, I have fallen victim to it.
Fallen victim?
Not victim. I suppose it's victimless, really. I mean, how measurable is it? Is it bad for you? I suppose if you're putting energy into it or wasting time on it, then fine. But like, if it's just a matter of like, I'm going to manifest winning the lotto, then no, you're not a victim, I suppose. But you are wasting time on something that isn't going to work out for you. Or Brad Pitt's going to fall in love with me.
Isn't there a comfort element to that? You're talking about replacing religion. It's about having a belief that there is a better future there for you, and maybe you can just reach out and grasp it. So you can daydream about that better future all the time, which is comforting. When I think I'm about to win the lotto, it's comforting. I've already spent the money in my head. I daydream about that, and it's comforting.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But you're balanced enough. In theory, you're balanced enough to know that you're probably not going to win the lotto.
Yes.
No matter how much you do this manifestation.
But I enjoy the sensation of dreaming about it. Yes.
Well, that's fair enough then. So maybe Delulu is actually enjoyable, because it actually comes from deluded or delusional. You are delusional. And you're enjoying being delusional, and you're living in that. I've done some genuine manifesting at a couple of points in my life, and I don't do enough of it. One of the things that was recommended to me once, where I was sort of unfocused, I was at a point in my, you know, this is only in my early 20s. I was at a point in my, and by the way, it wasn't someone that was into manifesting. It was actually, I didn't even know they were telling me what it was that we were talking about was manifesting. They said to me, a good idea to do, I think you do this a lot actually, is to pros and cons, write a list, and then use the information that you've put on a sheet of paper to put together a path and then pursue that path. Now, by the way, we should all be doing this all the time, because it actually does work. Well, it worked for me once, so I could I can speak to it being useful, and it certainly gives you a perspective, because we're all in this treadmill, the hamster wheel of just keeping your head above water, surviving, and just going day by, what am I doing tomorrow? What am I doing the day after? What's my bloody 7-day calendar looking like? I'm fretting about going for a swim with Brian. That you don't actually ever stop and go, well, actually, where am I? How am I getting on? Is this working out? Is this the right thing for me to be spending my energy doing? And if not, what are my alternatives? And what's the path to progress on? I did this thing anyway. Like I said, I got a massive A3 sheet of paper. And I did that. I did lists out. And then I was like, well, what is my end game? What is the thing I would like the most, as it happens? Nerd. I wanted to be on the radio, right? So I was, and I didn't have a job as a radio presenter at the time. So I worked out, like, what is my route into that? How do I, even if it involves taking a step back, because I was doing all right as a newsreader at the time, it involves taking a step back or taking a step sideways. What is it that I can do to increase my experience in terms of radio presenting in order to get into the job that I want in radio? Because at that time I was like, I was reading the news and hoping that I might get a chance to be a presenter or whatever, and writing it all out and working out my, well, I couldn't do that because it involved, I wouldn't be able to pay my rent then, but maybe I'll be able to do that instead or whatever. It's actually very useful. And then you use the results of that to manifest, to actually plan it out. And I think that's a version of useful manifestation.
That's a very mature approach. I knew you when you were that age, and I was too, and we were morons. So I'm surprised that you were responsible enough and mature enough to do that. I'm not even joking particularly. You never told me that, so.
Yeah, do you know what? It wasn't even, but it was definitely a turning point. I still have the pad that I used at home. I only used one sheet.
It was a short plan.
It was, that was it. It was one page. And the thing is, you really should be doing it every couple of months, really. Just a stock take.
There are versions of this in all aspects of life. In sport, particularly, people talk about visualization all of the time.
Really? Well, so there's something in it then?
Definitely. Oh, pros talk about this all the time, particularly in some sports like golf. Don't fall asleep straight away. But visualizing the shot you're about to hit helps your brain and your body replicate the shot. Or people often say, pretend you're watching an instant replay of yourself hitting a great shot, then step up and hit the ball. And really all you're doing is stepping into the instant replay. So visualization, I suppose, is about willing that thing that you want to happen, willing it into existence, seeing it first, understanding the feelings of hitting that shot, and then making it happen. It's kind of like manifesting.
Let me call my, this is on the Lulu, the Delulu thing. And like, you can kind of look at this with an eye roll, and all of it, like even The Secret, I thought at the time, I was like, here, come on now. But there are little chunks of this kind of thing that I think are useful. Let me call my manifesting guy. She's a best-selling author and healer, Abby. Let me call her.
It's ringing.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me okay?
Is it Abby?
Yes, it is.
Hello, Abby. Hello, it's Abby. Ray Foley calling from Today FM. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm trying to manifest. I'm having a dreadful day, Abby. I'm having a terrible day. And you know what? It's all my own fault because I haven't sufficiently manifested a good enough day. I'm not going to lie. I have become mildly obsessed with the whole manifesting business. And it's mostly down. We were reading this article about social media and the influencers that are into the manifesting. And there isn't a day that goes by. I'm a serial scroller, a swiper on Instagram. There isn't a day that goes by that I don't get a reel that says, all you got to do is say this thing, manifest it, click like, share it with all your friends.
And then you've manifested the influencer to have more coverage, really.
So that's the extent of it. But I'm not lying. Well, I haven't gone so far as to, because I kind of, like I say, I half know what they're at because they're only chasing likes and shares for themselves. But I still do the little, whatever the little mantra is or whatever it is that he or she has suggested I do, I still say it just in case because I don't want to take any chances. are you online yourself?
Am I online? Yes, I am. And I understand why people could be obsessed with that, but there's something called a limited hangout. Have you ever heard of a limited hangout?
I have had unlimited hangovers, but not a limited.
A limited hangout, right, is where you hang out, but they don't give you all the information. They only give you a little bit of it.
All right. So it's only surface level is all I'm getting.
So it's only surface level. So really, you know, we're conditioned and we're conditioned and we're conditioned over time. And saying mantra is great to choose to condition yourself. But okay. If you don't believe right then in your guts, if you don't have that, you know, the whole body belief, nothing's going to work. And again, I think I just had a TikTok video out there myself that did pretty well, which is if you want to manifest a cup of coffee, get up off your you-know-what and go and get one, because, you know, that's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, people just want these things to fall in their laps without making the effort, and that doesn't work either.
That's it. That's an interesting one, because there is from a very young age, we're taught, you know, if you, whatever it is you want, if you fully focus on it and you fully believe in it, then you'll get it. And there are so many examples of this where, I don't know, like Steven Spielberg, right? All he ever wanted to be was a massive Hollywood director. And he became one. But he didn't just become one from manifesting it like that. He fully threw himself into it. His entire being became becoming that. And I suppose that's an element of it, isn't it?
Oh, there you go. I've always wanted to write a novel, and I just published a trilogy last year. And so I was reading novels. I was learning how to write. I was throwing stuff in the bin. People don't like to do that. You know, you get so attached to everything you do. It has to be this way or the highway. But you have to be up for making a mistake. You have to be up for getting things wrong. But there's another thing as well. You know, it's called attachment. When you're attached to your expectations of how something's going to happen, you have to let that go as well, because that can get in the way. That can block you. So if you decide something like being a Hollywood director, or, you know, you have to put yourself in the right places. You have to get the skills going. And all of these things can lead into a trajectory where you do eventually end up there. But again, you know, we're looking at these people who want it all happening instantly.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to click my fingers, open my hand, and the bird will land in my hand for me, because I've decided I want a bird in my hand. You could say I want a bird in my hand, and you end up with bird shite in your hair. That's the first step to getting it. You know?
And I suppose is that a culture? Well, is it a generational thing, really? That this younger
I think a lot of the problems that we're in now, and I didn't mean to go into this, is because people have expectations that they're going to be handed stuff, you know, and we're not living in a place where, you know, you're the adult and mommy and daddy are the government, or mommy and daddy will make everything good. You have to be the responsible adult in your life, and you have to be rational and real. And so if you believe something right in your core, you still have to get up and you still have to go and do the actions behind it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I suppose believing it in your core is going to drive you to do the actions, right?
Well, that's it. Yeah. That's it. You know, there's no such thing as an overnight success.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
And again, they say as well, you know, all experts were beginners at one time too. So you have to be willing for that. You know, but I'm looking at these things because I was sent the article and I had a look. And a lot of it's like, I want to manifest a perfect job.
Yeah.
So go out and go looking for jobs and show up and put your CV up on the wall. Or I want a boyfriend or a girlfriend. You know, if you're going to stay at home, you're not going to meet them. You know, so you go out, you put yourself out there and be confident and bright and be able to say no as well, because the first person that comes along or the first job that comes along isn't necessarily the best one for you, and you could be being tested. You know, you say you want a job, but you want any job. Do you want a crappy job or do you want a great job? You know, so they could end up throwing 10 jobs at you, and it's up to you to interact, to co-create. Co-creation is when you take a step and then God or the universe or the world will take a step towards you. Do you know the picture with Michelangelo where Adam's reaching up and God's reaching down?
Yeah.
If you don't reach up, you don't get the reaching down.
So, right. But you have to wholeheartedly give yourself up to the reaching up, not just sit there and just go, oh, well, I've said the thing now, so where's my lotto win? Where's my 9 million?
Yeah, well, exactly. But I've had stories now of, you know, there's a different thing going on there. There's a psychic knowing in some people that they're going to win the lottery. You know, I've heard stories and I've actually met people who have one who just had an inner knowing, I'm just going to win and that's it. And they do. You know, I actually went to a table quiz one night and I said, oh, I'm going to win. And I don't know how I knew. And I did.
But hang on now. Hang on.
All the questions were about manifesting, though. So you're off to a winner straight away, Abby.
But you see, this is the thing. There's two separate pieces going on here. And it's not airy-fairy, wishy-washy. If you want something like a career, you want a house and you're not earning enough money to buy the big house, you have to change how much you're earning and to make the step by step. But sometimes things just do drop in.
Right.
Sometimes. Not all the time, and it's not guaranteed.
Well, you see, here's the thing, right? If I play the lotto today, right, or the Euro Millions, right, and this is what happens. I don't do it all the time. I don't do every draw, but on the odd occasion, if I'm in the shop, I spot it, I go take a notion. On that occasion, when I do take the notion, I have had the inkling that you just described. I have had the, do you know what? I just feel it. I just feel it on this one. I'm going to win it, and that. But that's why those people who did win. That's why they played, because they thought they were going to win it, but they didn't necessarily manifest it, I guess. And I suppose it's easy then to go the whole other end of it and just go, it is all it's all wishy-washy and don't believe in it in any sense. I'd say I'm sort of halfway. How has manifesting enriched your own life? Have you won the lotto?
No, I haven't.
Oh, I was about to send you a begging letter. Sorry. But you have had results.
I have had results because I believe. But I also have the door open that the way that I've decided it's going to be is not necessarily the way. So I let that go. So yeah. I follow my divine inspiration, which is what you do basically when you're silent and you listen and you just get a feeling and you act on intuition.
Okay. So
I mean, it's a dance. It really is a dance. But the whole key is, you know, if you're going to condition yourself to say, I can and I will, which is a really, you know, and I can and I will anything, right? You choose what the anything is. And then you bring that I can and I will. It's like an energy. I mean, you can even feel it when I'm saying it. I can and I will sound so much more bright and vibrant and alive than, sure, never mind. It won't ever happen.
Yeah.
So you bring the frequency of I can and I will all the way through your body, not just in your brain, but in your heart. So your heart believes I can and I will, and I don't know how and I don't know when, and I'm open to all the suggestions and possibilities for the highest good of me in the world. You know, because if you get something, then it's going to impact the people that you're living with, the people that surround you, and it'll impact the world. So I can and I will, and then you bring it all the way down to your gut, and you really believe I can and I will. But again, you know, it's like driving the car with your foot in the accelerator and the brake at the same time. If you're blocking it coming in, it won't come in. So you have to work on that and then allow the steps forward to show themselves. So it can take a long time.
That was going to be my next question. When you say it takes a long time, what is the sort of, is there like a daily practice or a regime that you should be following? Because it's not easy to just all of a sudden turn on the tap and go, right, this is it now. I'm manifesting. I'm able to change my mindset into fully believing and fully investing in it. Is there a plan or a path that you could be taking, or a workshop?
Yeah, absolutely there is. Well, if you divide yourself up into three and you say, I have my brain, I have my heart, and I have my gut. I say, okay, I can and I will with my brain. And then you think of all the reasons why your brain says you can't. And you write them all down and you clear them by sitting with them. You unpick them. You say, oh yeah, my teacher when I was in fifth class said I could never be a singer. And somewhere I held on to that. And so when I really want to be a singer, that's what's stopping me. So you clear that, you heal that in yourself, and you go through all of those. And then you do it for your heart. You know, when I set up my healing practice 13, 14 years ago, I was terrified. You know, I was thinking, I want all the clients lining up the door. I want to be booked out for months. But part of me was terrified. And so I was blocking it at the same time as wanting it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But now I'm not blocking it because I'm confident that I'm, you know, that in my abilities, I'm able to open the doors. And sometimes I'm like, okay, well, maybe I want a week off. So I'd be blocking it because I need time off. So you bring it through to the heart and you clear what's in the way of your heart. You bring it through to your stomach, which is, you know, your power. And it could be that you're putting more power into believing you don't want it than into believing you do. And, you know, I'm saying it takes a long time. It might not if you don't have much baggage. It might not if it's the right time now, you know, the cosmic moment and the planets are in the right place, all that kind of stuff. So it's really an individual by individual thing. But if you're getting up in the morning and you're grateful for your life, and I'm grateful for the opportunity, and I can and I will, and I bring down the energy to my heart, I can and I will, and I bring down the energy to my stomach, I can and I will. And then you could say, show me where I'm blocking this. And then someone will come up and have a fight with you and you realize that you're attached to this in that way, or something will show up and you'll clear that. And eventually you'll have cleared mostly everything.
It's funny listening to you, right? There's two things as I'm listening to you. It would be very easy, right, to be cynical about it and go,
sure.
It's basically just going, people can be cynical about religion or saying your prayers at night before you go to bed. And tomorrow everything's going to be great because you've said your prayers, right? Very easy to be cynical. But your description of it is actually quite practical. It's a practical application of changing of a mindset that is apart from manifesting or manifestation. It's actually really practical as a life exercise in going, where am I right now? How am I thinking about where I am right now? Where do I want to go? And what can I do now about getting there? What can I do to get there rather than just expecting to suddenly magically arrive there? The other thing that I've noticed about your expression, I can and I will. Yeah, I can and I will.
Yeah.
There's almost, what's that word, JP? Three dots.
An ellipsis.
An ellipsis at the end of it. I can and I will. And the will almost is suggesting, I will what? I will what? I will do what about it? I will engage in what? I will what to make it happen? I can. I will dot, dot, dot.
And you've heard of willpower, haven't you?
Yeah.
And when everyone talks about willpower, they all think, okay, I need willpower to give up smoking, to give up alcohol. Willpower is, that's not really what it is. Willpower, I can and I will. I am putting the power of my will into something that I want. You know, and even if you looked at giving up something that way, I'm putting the power of my will into being healthy. Everything has an energetic frequency. Everything does. And the thoughts that you play most of the time in the back of your head, if they're heavy and slow, if they're sad, if they're depressed, then that's the energy you're sitting in. And if what you want to manifest is a different frequency to that, you're not going to meet, you know, it's like it's going to come in the second floor of the building and you're sitting in the basement because you're feeling heavy and sad. You have to get out of the basement. You have to get up to the second floor, up to the penthouse. I'm here and I'm ready and I deserve it and I want it and I can and I will. And, you know, you can just do that to change everything in your day and not have anything specific that you want to manifest, just to change the frequency. You know, I run these classes and I say to people, remember a time when you were happy. What did that feel like? And people always remember the times when they were sad, distressed, traumatized, upset. They carry that in their energy field, say, as a remembrance of all the things they've been through and they identify through that. It's like, but you were happy. And if you can lift yourself up from the basement, from the dregs, and live in the first floor, second floor, live in the penthouse, then all these things start coming in. That's a match to you. That's good and vibrant. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, it absolutely does. It's somewhat akin to the I'm a serial swiper. One of the reels that I got on Instagram was this guy. He said I don't know. You can tell me if it's a part of the world of manifestation or not. But it's sort of like if you woke up in the morning and decided today's going to be a crap day, then you're going to see the entire world through the lens of. It's going to be affirmed for you. It's going to be, see, I told you, a red light, oh, great. Or a flat tire, I knew it was going to be a crap day today.
But you know, if I get a red light, I'm like, okay, I have to slow down. I'm missing something.
Yeah.
Well, and it's the same red light. It just depends on how you frame it for yourself.
Yeah, yeah. And similarly, if you make the decision over breakfast, today's going to be a great day. You'll start noticing things like, I got that red light, but then I don't know, that cyclist waved at me as they were walking, or whatever, I don't know. I was a couple of minutes late, but it meant that I was bang on the time for the coffee in the coffee shop at that, or whatever. Do you know that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I write a diary with affirmations in it every year. I've written them, I think, for 5 years in a row. And one of my favorite ones is, my day starts and ends with peace. So the idea is that you wake up in the morning and you're at peace, and then you can connect into the feeling of peace during the day. And then at the end of the day, you can feel peaceful. You know, but you have to tell yourself that. You're bombarded. Everybody is bombarded with messages from everywhere, from the radio, from the TV, from the phones, social media, all over, even from people you're around. And the messages are not necessarily the ones that you want to choose. So again, by reaching up to the higher frequency messages, And even music, you know, you can be singing music in your head and not really knowing what the lyrics are. And then when you sit down and pick them apart, you realize the lyrics have been keeping you in a lower, let's say, keeping you in the ground floor when you wanted to go up to the second floor. And it's only when you start to have an awareness of what you're doing in the background when you're on autopilot that you realize there's so many little things that you can do that lift you, that help you wake up in the morning and say, okay, I don't feel crap today, and today could actually be a good day. You know, what if today is a great day is a really nice thing to say when you wake up.
Yeah.
What if today is a great day? I mean, even start with that.
And I can and I will.
And I can and I will.
I can and I will. Have a look at Abby's website. www.abby-win.com. And win is spelled W-Y-N-N-E. Abby Win. So final abbywin.com. Final verdict then on Delulu. These people are Delulu. They just need to go a step further, I guess, do they?
I think they do. And I think as well, you know, there's a whole thing called positive psychology where you're looking at things and pretending that the crappy stuff didn't happen. I don't ascribe to that. I don't ascribe to lies. If you're meeting yourself where you are and you're living in the basement because that's where you are, you say, okay, today's an opportunity for me to do something to help myself heal a little bit more. You don't pretend you're up on that penthouse when you're not. You work with yourself where you are, and every day you do a little bit more until one day you wake up and you're there naturally, do you know? So not to force yourself to feel something that you don't, because that makes things a lot worse for you. So yeah, that's a tip for anyone who's listening.
Definitely worth using. Thanks so much for taking the call. Much obliged. Have a lovely, here's wishing you, I can and I will, a lovely day today.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. You too.
Cheers, Abby. Bye.
Bye.
Lovely chat. Thanks, Abby. JP at todayfm.com for your emails. And turn us on the radio. Today FM, 2 p.m. Monday.
Uh-oh. Ray Foley.
Oh, here we go. Here come the details.
Weekday afternoons from 2 on Today FM.
Ray.
Yeah.
I love the show.
Hey!